There are other stations, but none will help you remodel your house or soup up your car. Weekends for the do-it-yourselfer on News Talk 102.3 KXYL.
Yeah, you listen to On the House on the weekends.
They come on 8 to 10 Saturday morning. They will help you figure out how to remodel your house, how to fix those old plumbing issues, hang drywall, frame walls. You get good enough at that. You take a few tests. You get certified as a builder and a contractor. And when you become a contractor, you can open your own business, your own contracting firm. And when you do that, you get to hang out with Brian Termail and join the association, or the Associated General Contractors of America. Brian, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Doing good. The Associated General Contractors of America, what y'all been looking at over the past few months is what's going to happen to America's infrastructure. A lot of people think that the highway department does all the work. Really, the highway department just goes out for bids, and you guys do the work. And really, if you're looking at a way to spur job growth while at the same time fixing the infrastructure, this is something that needs to be looked at.
No, that's absolutely right. You know, the challenge is that we've got all these highways and other public works, water systems, school buildings, power grids that were built in the 1950s and 1960s around the country, and they were the envy of the world, but now they're beyond their design lifespan. They were designed to last 40, 50 years. They're 60 and 70 years old now. And in many cases, they're falling apart, which is why the American Society of Civil Engineers gives our public infrastructure a D+, which isn't the kind of grade you want to bring home, right? And so we're excited. Our members, the folks who've started their construction firms and are members of the Associated General Contractors, they're excited about the fact that President-elect is talking about making a big investment in rebuilding our infrastructure, and understand that that's going to help boost our economy, not just for construction firms, but for the broader economy.
Well, and of course, you have to have transportation infrastructure in hand to have an economy. One thing that we run into here in Brownwood, Texas, is that we are about 40 miles off of the interstate. And so when we're dealing with bringing companies to town and luring companies to town, we run into two major obstacles. One, we're not located along Interstate 35 in Central Texas, where most of the construction's happening right now. And two, we don't have an interstate at all coming through town. We've got several U.S. highways, just none that are freeways. And that can be, you know, it can make all the difference in the world if you've got a great highway that's coming through town.
That's absolutely right. And you know, we talk a lot about rebuilding infrastructure, which is important. But the other thing we need to do is we need to look at where we need new capacity. And the fact is that the cities that were sort of thriving economic hubs in the 1950s and 1960s aren't the same that are the thriving economic hubs now. Other places have grown, some places have shrunk, and more importantly, trade patterns have changed. We built a highway system in the 50s and 60s that was primarily east-west. It was designed to get folks from one coast to the next. But really, since NAFTA, a lot of our commercial traffic is now north-south. So we've got to look at where do we need to add capacity and where do we need to connect cities that have grown or that maybe weren't on the interstate map 50, 60 years ago but should be now. And you're absolutely right that those highway connections are so important to economic vitality, right? If you've got a good highway connection, it makes sense to have a Walmart distribution facility. It makes sense to put a factory there. It makes sense to set up a shipping facility. And really, those are the kinds of jobs beyond construction that are, you know, that a lot of folks stand to benefit from and really could help make the difference for a community.
Back in the 1950s, President Dwight D. Eisenhower came up with the idea of the interstate system. He modeled it after the Autobahn in Germany and came up with the idea and saw the need for it after having traveled across the United States as a young soldier prior to World War II. It took, prior to the interstate system being built, it took about 60 days to drive from coast to coast. With the interstate system, you can now make that trip in 4 days. It was a huge vision, one of the biggest public works projects ever undertaken in American history, probably in world history. It was a huge deal to put in America's interstate system. Is the country in a position to be able to pull off a similar project today?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. We don't really need, I mean, the fact is that we don't need to build a new highway system from scratch, right? We've got an existing system. We've got a lot of built-out infrastructure. It's aging, or in many places, it's not adequate. So we've got, it's a lot less glamorous. I mean, you don't see a lot of politicians showing up to cut a ribbon on a newly repaved highway or rebuilt overpass, but that's the kind of work that a lot of our infrastructure needs. We also need to do the a little bit more glamorous, but still not that glamorous work of adding lanes to highways. I just drove down from, don't hold against me, I'm from Washington, D.C., but my family lives down in Florida. We drove down I-95, and in the entire state of South Carolina, it's two lanes each direction, and it was backed up. I mean, I sat in a state-long traffic jam getting down here, and we need to add capacity, but that's the kind of work we need to do. But one of the things, the lessons that we learned from Eisenhower, is that they found a way to pay for the interstate highway system, to build this sort of world-class infrastructure from scratch without impacting the deficit at all. And they did that. I know it's not a popular word, but they did that by putting in place a gas tax on the idea that people who are going to use the highway system should pay for it, and if you're not going to use the highway system, you shouldn't pay for it. But we've gotten so good in this country at promising folks something for nothing that we're afraid to touch that gas tax. And I appreciate it. No one likes to pay more at the pump, but we're afraid to touch that gas tax, and as a result, we've had to take money out of the general fund in the Treasury and deficit spend to keep our highways maintained. So one of the things we're hoping the president-elect does and the new Congress does is maybe not the gas tax, but find a way that doesn't affect the deficit that we can pay for expanding the interstate system and our other transportation assets and making sure that we're keeping them in good shape, not just for the next 2 years, but for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Because, again, that's the big difference between, in many places, from being economically competitive and non-economically competitive.
In Texas, one of the popular tools the legislature has used in the past has been the idea of toll roads. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, toll roads have a place. And again, you know, what we like about toll roads is that the user pays for the road, right? So you're not charging someone who's not benefiting from the road. But there are certainly have been deals with toll roads that have been less popular than others. One of the things that we see are these sort of private concessions. So you've got a company, and they're typically foreign, not just because that's the model that's more popular in Europe and South America, so most of the companies who know how to do it are foreign, who operate a toll road, and then, you know, in exchange for building that road, because the state doesn't have to pay for the road, they get to collect the tolls for the next 20, 30, 90 years, depending on the terms of the deal. And in some cases, there's a feeling that, geez, I'm paying higher in tolls, not to keep the road maintained, but to make sure that this company's got a high profit margin, and that's less popular. But if it's something where you can connect the cost of the road to the people using it, we found those tend to be more popular than people paying tolls, not just to maintain a road, but to sort of pad a company's profits.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the statewide traffic jam going through North and South Carolina on Interstate 95. I went through South Carolina on the interstate, two lanes, just like you mentioned, and the race was happening at Darlington that weekend, so I can definitely identify with being stuck in statewide traffic.
Doing it with three little kids in the back of the car is a little bit like a Chinese water torture, but we survived.
Well, I'm glad you did. Brian, tell us a little bit more about the Associated General Contractors of America and where we can follow you online.
Yeah, we're a commercial construction trade association. So if you know, our members build everything but single-family homes. They build highways and bridges. They build office buildings, warehouses, power plants, you name it, anything that requires a hard hat that isn't a single-family home. And folks who want to learn more about the need to invest in infrastructure or how to contact their member of Congress and tell them they want to support the president-elect and make sure that an infrastructure package gets passed quickly next year can visit us online at www.agc.org, A for Associated, G for General, C for Contractors.
Sounds good. Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Turmel of the Associated General Contractors of America on the Power of Information News.